I'd like you to turn, please, to Psalm 119. We're diverting tonight from the subject on the fruit of the Spirit. We were going to be looking at the last one tonight, but I thought because of the inclemency of the weather and many people being away, we will return to that at another occasion. And so we're looking tonight at Psalm 119, and we'll be coming back also to Titus chapter 2. So please keep your finger in that spot as well. Verse 1 of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Let's bow, please, before the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, as we are now the word of open, we pray that our hearts will be settled and open, and our ears spiritually open to hear the word of God to our own souls. We ask, Lord, that we would be strengthened with might in the inner man. We pray, Lord, that we will understand what it means to die unto ourselves daily, we might live unto righteousness. We pray, Father, that our testimonies would be vibrant, that they would not be cluttered, that they would not be obscured. Lord, we will be lights to shine and salt to preserve and savor. Lord, help us to follow good works as we follow in the path of our Lord Jesus. We know that is the testimony and was the testimony of the saints in Revelation 12, as we were thinking last Wednesday, and how good works followed them. And so, Lord, we pray that good works will follow us and that we will serve the Savior, see Christ magnified in and through us, and that we will not ever be ashamed of him. Oh God, we pray for forgiveness for the times, Lord, when we have been bashful about speaking the name of Jesus. But let us say with confidence and boldness, as the Apostle Paul did, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Hear this, our prayer tonight, we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. So you have Psalm 119 open before you, and turning back to also Titus chapter 2, I want to draw your attention to verse number 8 in this chapter of Titus, and then we'll be thinking also of some words from Psalm 119. Paul is admonishing the people in the church, in Titus specifically, and the people that he had to minister to. And in verse 8, it talks about sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech. As we have already read, the apostle was going through some very appropriate application of the word as it applied to aged men, as it applied to aged women, as it applied to how they need to influence and teach those that are the younger ones in the local fellowship. And so it has to do with every single one, young men, young women, and old women, and everyone that falls in between those two categories. The testimony that we have is so very important. This verse of Scripture, verse 8, really is dealing with the subject of personal testimony and what that means. Well, as we consider that subject of having a personal testimony, the Psalms, of course, are also very much alive with what that means. And from the very opening psalm, where it talks about those who are to desire fellowship with those that have a good testimony, those that are walking in the light of truth and in the fellowship with God. And the author of Psalm 119, this right through, well, there's such a hunger in his heart to convey God's word and the truth of the word of God in every step and aspect of life. And he did not want to have any part of his testimony compromised. And so the prayer was, Lord, I don't want to be defiled. Because he knew there is a blessing for those that are undefiled in the way, that walk in the law of the Lord. And so the idea of not being defiled in our spiritual walk, in the temporal walk that will automatically have such an impression on the spiritual walk, well, this was the heart cry. This was the prayer of the psalmist. And when he desired in his own soul to say, Lord, I know my own areas of weakness. Haven't we been seeing that in the whole subject of the fruit of the Spirit? I know where I have drifted. I know where there's inadequacy. And I am praying, Lord, for that to be fixed, to be multiplied, to be improved. And so in the whole idea of having a testimony, it is a good thing. But what does it mean? What is your testimony? Well, of course, we heard one this morning. And we know from a Christian point of view what a testimony is. It is speaking and being a witness of what has transpired in your life. What you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have experienced. And if we are giving a word of testimony or sharing what has happened in our own life, those things are absolutely essential. What have you seen? What have you heard? And what have you known yourself inside? And so that idea of conveying our Christian testimony is absolutely essential. And we want to be careful that we are walking in the way and the truth of God. And so the very opening part here, in the opening part of verse 8 in Titus chapter 2, it talks about a testimony that has sound speech. And what does this mean? A testimony that has sound speech. Through Titus already, that word sound has come up a few times. And it means, of course, that which has a sure foundation. That which has reinforcement bar going through the cement. And when the cement hardens, the reinforcement bar will give it rigidity. It will give it strength. And so our Christian testimony has to be that which is going to endure the test of time and is going to endure the heavy winds that are blowing in this day and time. Is that the testimony that we have? Well, that testimony will be marked by sound words. The word, or sound speech rather, is the very common word logos, and it means words. And so our testimony is that which is going to be known by the words that we speak. But the words that we speak, they're only as valuable as the testimony that goes along with them. It's not altogether what a man says that is the most important thing, but it's what we do in relation to what we say. That's the most important thing. And so when the apostle is encouraging young Titus He is saying to him, sound speech, sound words whereby your testimony is going to be known. And it has to be that which is true, honest, reputable. It has to be according to the word. And so when David prayed, I don't want to be defiled by the way. I want my testimony to be equal to the words that I am speaking. Because how bad is it when we as Christians, we say one thing, but sadly our testimony by our actions says another thing. And if you receive that too many times from a person, you're going to have to say and conclude to yourself, they're not just mistaken. There's something more serious involved here. There's hypocrisy. There's a double standard. There's a saying of one thing, but a living in a completely different way. Well, believers, we don't want that to be the case in our life. What we want to be sure of is that when we say we love Christ, when we say and admonish other people to follow and to come to Him, when we are admonishing other people to say the Christian life is the only true way of glorifying God, then, my friends, that's important that our speech is going to be sound speech. Well, it's also going to be convicting speech that you and I have. Look on in verse 8 further. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. This is going to be speech that has conviction with it. It means that it's not going to be compromised. It's speech that is not able to be condemned by others who look on. And you and I know that we are in what is called a critical and accusing world. We're in a world today where everyone looks at a Christian or a Christian church, the world specifically, and they're going to be attacking. They're going to be trying to undermine. They are looking to condemn. And how sad it is when in the gospel we have failed and we have given the ammunition to the enemy to hurl abuses at us. And unfortunately, those abuses are hurled also at our Savior. And when that has been done, we feel the weight of it. We feel we have grieved the Spirit of God. We feel we have disappointed our Lord, and certainly we have grieved and disappointed our own hearts. And there are times, I'm sure you have felt this as well, when we have compromised or disappointed or grieved the Spirit of God, and it's happened over and maybe over and maybe over again, and we wonder, Lord, can we even come to ask you to repair this mess? Can we even ask you to come and to forgive us and wash the slate clean once more? We feel we have disappointed him one too many times. But you know, the grace of the Lord is that which comes to us at every time of our sense of failure and the sense of our disappointment. And though our hearts may be grieved within and breaking, and even tears wept before him, yet the Lord is merciful. As we thought this morning about how merciful the Lord is, he clothed Adam and Eve even though they had rebelled against him. He gave great grace to Lot though he was in Sodom and delaying. The angels grabbed hold of him in mercy and they dragged him out. The Lord is so kind to us in our many faults and failures. David spoke about the righteous man. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his way. And if you are in Christ tonight, you are the righteous man, the righteous woman. Not, of course, by anything that we have done ourselves, but we rejoice as we're thinking this morning around the Lord's table that every benefit that we have received is come from the Lord graciously to us and not by our own good works. We cannot justify ourselves before the Lord. And as Paul argued with the Galatian Christians, he said, you have started in the Spirit. Are you going to finish your walk in the flesh? Are you going to be sanctified by the work that you do on the inside? No, that's not possible. It is grace that has chosen us, grace that has saved us, and my friends, grace that will sanctify us, and the grace of the Lord that will bring us safely home at the end. That's the testimony that you and I have. And it's a testimony that we should guard carefully, and we do not want it to be condemned. Sometimes, you know, the world has good justification when they bring their condemnation against Christians, because, quite frankly, we are guilty, we've messed up. But there are times when the world will raise its accusations against us, and they are patently untrue. They are fabrications. They are lies of the evil one, because Satan, who is the father of lies, is going to try to hurl all kinds of accusation against the child of God. But what is being taught to Titus is this: you have a testimony of saving grace. You have sound words and speech to live by. And let our lives be so that no matter what the world and the ungodly come to speak against us and how they will come to bring their condemnation, let not a word of it be justifiable. Let not one word that comes against us be true. Let us walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, not in the fellowship of those who would bring dishonor to Christ. Let us be certain that we have that speech which is convicting. Because what will happen is that when people come to condemn us, people come to hurl opposition against the child of God, and it's found out to be false, then we are lifted up in the sight of God, and even in the sight of the ungodly. Do you remember in the days of Daniel, when he was accused wrongly, as they had trumped up this great charge against him, he didn't bow down, or he asked intercession, rather, to his God instead of to Darius the king. Well, they arranged that he would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel did not stop his regular practice of being a witness for God. He did not stop praying. He didn't stop meditating on the Lord. He opened his window toward Jerusalem, as was his habit. And when they saw him, they accused him of breaking the law of the land. But he kept the law of God. And he would say, as Peter did, we ought to obey God rather than men. There might be times when the condemnation of the world comes fiercely against us, and when it does, let us be truly and honestly and wholly innocent before our God and be seen to be guilty before the world. Because when it happened to Daniel, yes, he had to go into a fearful situation. Although you know what happened when he was put down in that den of lions? It wasn't Daniel who was afraid. It was the lions. They were afraid of Daniel. And they would not touch him. They wouldn't go near him. God closed their mouths. And until he was rescued and taken out, and his accusers were put in, and they did not even touch the ground before the lions had the mastery of them. Yes, we want to have a sound testimony, a solid, firm, true testimony that cannot be condemned. And whenever accusation will come against us, and it will, let it be completely and totally false before the Lord. And this goes on a little bit further in verse number 8, because it speaks about that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. There's no ground in the accusation that the enemy will bring against us. This is what is innocent speech, so that the report that we have is a good report before God. The people in Hebrews chapter 11, at the end we're told of them that they had a good report. And the good report they had, it was certainly not before the ones who were persecuting them to the death. The good report that they had was one in the eyes of God. And oh, friend, today, that you and I can be very certain that before the Lord, He will fill us daily with His Spirit, that we will walk in the love and the light of Christ, and that He will see our way and our path, and He will mark us out as His saved, sanctified, and serving children. We want to serve the Lord. We want to give our life for Him. We don't want to have our life just wasted and consumed in all the things that are in this world. You're here tonight in the house of the Lord. You've given your heart to Christ. You've given your life to Him. And maybe you're saying right now, Lord, how can I serve better? What can I do in the service of Christ? How can I see my testimony and my life going on with Him, even in the face of sometimes very fierce opposition? And we know, friends, that things are not getting easier in our society against the child of God. Things are getting more difficult. And if someone is moving into the area of public service or into the area of teaching in other than a Christian school setting, these things are intensifying, because you must check all of the boxes and agree with all of the ways of even addressing someone, how you talk to them, what prefix you're going to put in front of their name. And if you say, I'm not in agreement with that, you're going to be condemned. There's going to be an evil report brought against you, and it may cost a promotion. It may cost even getting a job. We shouldn't be altogether surprised about this. The Lord tells us in Revelation that as it comes toward the end, as the mystery of lawlessness increases, there's coming a time when the man of sin is revealed, and on his people there will be a mark placed. However that mark will look and what it will represent, we don't fully know. But there's coming a time when, before the return of Christ, that there will be an intensification of persecution against God's people, and you may not even have the mark to buy or to sell. It's going to become increasingly more difficult to live a Christian life and to have a testimony. What will happen to us? In the Savior, in Christ, and by faith, we will come into the same category as those in Hebrews 11. And remember that what they had was before the Lord Jesus even came. Yes, they looked forward to Calvary, but they did not have the Lord Jesus. They did not know fully, as we know today, of the full revelation of God's truth, of the finished Bible, of knowing all of the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Even though we might not fully grasp them, our knowledge is so much greater than those who lived in that time. And yet their faith was vibrant, was alive, because they looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And as they looked to that day when they would be with God, and they would be with Him forevermore, so you and I tonight, we lift up our eyes, for our redemption draws nigh. And the Lord is coming closer. And we are today a day closer than we were yesterday of seeing our Savior. Have you thought about that? Have you considered that Christ is coming back again? And whether we are alive, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Or if God so purposes that we will come to the point of our death and go into the ground, we will rise to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. And so, my dear friends, tonight, as we consider and think about the value, the importance of a shining testimony for the Lord. Let our speech be that which is clear and good. Let us never be found to be compromising or in conflict of our words. We pray that we'll have true and right speech. It cannot be condemned. And even when people come against us with an evil report, and let's not be surprised with that, that will happen. Yet still, we know that before God, our conscience is clear, our hearts are clear, and we are living and breathing and moving, and ultimately for His honor and for His glory. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we bless Thee tonight for the great privilege that we have of being in the Savior. And Lord, we know in our hearts we do not deserve the least of Thy mercies, but yet You have granted to us the very greatest. We possess tonight the knowledge of the holy. We possess tonight the certainty and assurance of our sins forgiven and of a home in glory in heaven. And Father, we pray tonight and make confession and say, Lord, for the number of times that we have disappointed and grieved the Spirit and compromised our own faith. Yet, Lord, we know that there is forgiveness with our God, and we have been lifted up and set upon our spiritual way again. And we have been dusted off and encouraged, and we keep going, Lord. And we know it's not of us, but it's in spite of us. And it's all because of the wondrous grace of our Lord and Savior to us. Oh, Father, we pray that You will be glorified in our lives, that we will be strengthened as we face a new day tomorrow, and all the unknowables, all the uncertainty. And yet, Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the glorious certainty that Christ is alive and that He is coming back again. And Lord, that we are saved and secured and will one day soon be brought safely home. And so help us in the meantime to devote our lives and to give ourselves in the service of the Master. So, Father, part us now in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing. And we ask again that everyone will be taken to their homes in safety. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.